are edified and encouraged, as we intend to be, with others to share our love for faith, to share our love for the Lord, and likewise, to share love for the knowledge of the Lord, and to have others. There are many things that we serve others, and us who are chosen to do on this day or this morning, housework or the other things that I'm sure are constantly piling up in our lives, but we chose this good thing. So we do appreciate that. We're going to continue to study if you have been. The question is, would you have been just in the battle if you have done these things? Just as we see with Simeon, we're studying lesson number 3, page 11. You need a copy of the book, the various hand lessons for you one around. Good. All right, that's all that you focus our minds on. We're prepared for what we are saying.
Let us pray. Dear Father, we're so thankful that you guided us to worship you on this day. Father, we pray that you will guide us in worship. Help us to lift our hearts to you, Father, and to understand the scriptures, to understand your word. Father, as we study the scriptures, it will help us.
So if you had a chance to do the reading in Luke 2, 25 through 35, you'll read about a man named Simeon. Simeon is described in a few ways, as we've talked about in past biblical characters, at least the few that we've had a chance to go through right now. They are spoken well of by the Lord. They are recorded as being highly favored, or being just, being devout, being one who would set the pathway to the Lord straight. These are all great things to be remembered as, right? Can you imagine if that was your name here, that if you were reading, for instance, and it said here in verse 25, and lo, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Solomon. Can you imagine if that was you there that they would speak of? What do you think? You can think that when there is a time and there is a place to where my name will be remembered, I pray that I can live up to even half of the things that we read about in some of these biblical characters. But more importantly, when there's a book that is opened, I pray that my name be found in it, the book of life. Is that what your goal is? Well, as we read through these characters, we study on them, we see the good example that they set forward. That is exactly how we will go to find our name in the book of life, is to live according to the scriptures, to live according to the examples that we have. By Simeon, by John, by Mary, and even some will study, by Jesus and others. The examples that we can live at, that we know are good examples. We are going to read about some characters in the future, Lord willing we continue this study, who will have some bad examples. They'll do some things, right? But we can still learn from those. You know, you can learn sometimes more from your mistakes than you can from your successes. But what about Simeon? Simeon was a just and devout man who was told that he would not see death till he had seen the Lord. That would have been quite encouraging, don't you think? What if you were told that today? You would not taste death until you have seen the Lord. Can you imagine how encouraging it would be that you know that your days in this life are numbered? No matter what, right? None of us are there's not going to be a sequel, right? None of us are getting out of here alive, and there is no sequel. But you will not see death till you see the Lord. I can't think of anything more encouraging to know that. I know it's coming. I do know it's coming. But can you imagine you could put at least a time span on that? It's got to be between us. How nice would that be to know? But likewise, that could be dangerous, right? Can you imagine if you would not taste death until you see the Lord? Can you imagine how some might live their life? I've got a while left. I'll live it up for just a little bit. I'll carry on doing such and such because I know there's still time. Some people think that way. Sometimes we might even catch ourselves thinking that way.
Yeah, and this can be a snare for people in some ways. If Simeon has been granted something very special, mm-hmm. if something that is pretty well unique to him, to have it revealed to him from God, that this is the way it's going to be. I think a lot of people secretly resent that the Lord doesn't do that for them personally. Mm-hmm. Right? Like, I want the Lord to lay things out for me so that I know with absolute certainty what the course of things is going to be. And they get bent out of shape. Because, I mean, it can be frustrating to wait upon the Lord. I'm sure it was frustrating for Anna, but we'll read about later. But we shouldn't resent the special gifts that are given.
If you think about it, Paul deals with this matter in 1 Corinthians, right? You remember, you read around, chapter 13, we'll say. And you say that these things will be so until that which is perfect is come. Okay? And then after that, he says there will no longer be required faith, right? Because why would we need faith if we already know the outcome? Here it is already. You see, it doesn't require any faith if the Lord plans out every single step for you and you know what the beginning, the middle, and the end is going to look like. You're not required to have hope or faith. There's a reason why He tests our faith. There's a reason why we have a hope. Because the Lord is looking for those who in uncertainty will trust on Him. Who in uncertainty and in times of trouble, in times where faith and hope are necessary, will rest their head on His bosom to look to Him for answers and hope. You see, if we already know the end, what good is hope and faith? It's not necessary anymore, is it? But Simeon, he knew, I won't taste death until I see the Lord. Well, that could have been any day, couldn't it have? You know, about procrastination, I suppose. Why do today what you can put off till tomorrow? But he was a just and devout man while he lived his life, all of the days that he lived his life. Right? So, Joseph and Mary presented Jesus at the temple in accordance with the Old Testament law. Considering if you had been Simeon is a good way to do some good self-examination. Would you have been just and devout? So it introduces us to him with those two characteristics. What do you think it means to be just and devout? Sometimes we use those words. You ever use a word to define the word? You ever do that? We use a word so often that you can't even hardly define that word without just using that word to define it. Well, I mean, a person's just. Well, that means they're really just. What do you think that means, to be just? So we don't take part, there's no partiality, there's no sides. You let the facts go where they may. We call that the justice system, right? You let the facts kind of lead you in the way that you should go. You don't have any foredrawn conclusions. Do we sometimes maybe do that? We talk about always assuming the best in people, and that's sometimes pretty difficult to do. Not because it's necessarily hard for you, but it's because, man, don't they make it so hard? Well, the thing about that is that's entirely up to us. How we react and how we choose to behave, right? It doesn't matter how hard a person makes it. We still have that choice. What else about just might you know?
It can generally mean righteous.
Mm-hmm. Righteous. Upright. You're just. Equitable. He was talking about equitable. Right? And what that means is equitable in character. What about being devout? Religious. That word sometimes carries a negative connotation these days, doesn't it? I love God, but I'm not religious. Yeah, you hear people say that? Oh, yeah. I love Jesus. I know Jesus. So, yeah, absolutely. I'm going to heaven, but I'm not religious. Religious isn't a bad thing by itself. It can be, but that's like most other things, isn't it? Money isn't bad all by itself. It can be. Find that maybe 1 Corinthians 15:58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast and immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, and knowing that your work in the Lord is not in vain. Right? Steadfast and immovable. Right? You're devout. In other words, you revere God. We're talking about this in a spiritual sense, right? You revere God. You are dedicated wholly. See, that's what it really means. There are some people who think religious just means like, you know, you're very charismatic, and you're a Bible thumper, and you know, you're doing all... Sometimes religious carries a negative connotation. It doesn't have to be. You can be religiously dedicated to God. You can be pious. You can revere Him. Right? You can be steadfast and immovable, and always abounding. Right? That's what it means to be devout. Some people can be devout for a short period of time, but then they give up. Do not grow weary in doing good. Good works, right? The Bible tells us constantly to be devout, right? That is something that you and I should be every day. Otherwise, you might be considered, you ever heard this term, a fair weather fan. Maybe you hear, well, you know, when Brady came, everybody was a Buccaneers fan, right? Because he was winning the Super Bowl. Now we're on the bandwagon. Some people jump on the religious bandwagon. When things are going real well, oh, you betcha. They're all about it. Little trouble comes their way, not so much. Or sometimes they wait until they're in such a hole that the only reason they look up to God is because they're so far down. Being devout. There's somebody else who had these kind of characteristics. Can you think of that? Acts chapter 10, if you didn't do it. He was a devout man, right? Gave alms to the poor. He prayed always. Did he love God with all his heart? He did. There's a close connection between being devout and that of the worship we render to God. How could you equate those things? Worshiping God and being devout. Right? And if you feel like you want to throw just in there also, by all means, let's link them all together.
I think Luke invites us to see Simeon and Hannah parallel cases. And Anna, I think, illustrates for us some of what Luke means in his description of Simeon. Because we get real specific with Anna. And by the way, they're both waiting, right? Simeon's waiting for the consolation of Israel. Anna's prophesying for those who are waiting for the redemption of Jerusalem. That's why they're in the temple. And what she does, Luke tells us, she didn't depart from the temple worshiping with fasting and prayer night and day. Like when we read about Simeon waiting for the consolation of Israel, waiting almost sounds passive. Biblical waiting is not passive. It looks like what Anna's doing, fasting and prayer.
Waiting on the Lord is an active term. It is worship. It's doing a lot of things, right? Can you be devout and can you be doing those things even while you're not here? For instance, on a Sunday, Lord's Day, during worship. Can you think of that you might be devout in a way that you are being a good scriptural example, right? So that people may see your light, not to glorify you, but to glorify God which is in heaven? Do you think that all of the days of the week you live your life as a written epistle, not just the first day? Do you think that people see those examples? To see that you're devout. Not that you're doing some kind of outward theatrical display of your religion. Right? There are some, they want to do that. But what about just the passive display? Can you make a passive display of your religion, your faith, your love towards God? Yeah. That is everything that we do. We think about it. Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord, everything. Does that mean that every time you do something in the name of the Lord? Oh, I came over, I knocked on the door, how are you doing in the name of the Lord? Well, He knows why you're doing it. Do you have to tell everyone else why you're doing it? No, you can't. It's okay. You can say, in the name of the Lord, I give you these things. In the name of Jesus, I do. But there are times when, like some other things, you can be overbearing. And then you kind of start to do it for the wrong reasons. Look at how much I'm doing in the name of the Lord. I did a bunch of stuff. Let me count the ways. There would be more later, but not many at this time.
Very unique at that time. He had the Holy Spirit on him. That's amazing. It's just almost, you know, unfathomable. And if we, and that is so intertwined with what we were talking about, so much so that he had unbelievable.
Well, that'd be amazing. Some people claim today to have the Holy Spirit on them. Right? And while you have the gift of, there are some who still claim to have the gifts of. You see, something when you pluralize that, it becomes something we're talking about that's different. Okay? And they get to carrying on and blabbering and running up and down the aisles and dancing and hooting and hollering and doing all these other things because they've got the Holy Spirit upon them. Holy Spirit fire baptism. And they just start smashing all kinds of things together, don't they? But when we're talking about worship, and we're talking about being just and being devout, you see, those things are characteristic of a person. It's not that you can't be just and devout by how many things that you own, right? We're talking about inward characteristics of a person. Do you think that you can live your life recklessly and with abandon? And you don't live your life towards the Lord and then show up on Sunday morning and offer acceptable worship? There are some that they live their life Monday through Saturday like they live of the world, and when they show up on Sunday morning, all of a sudden they're pious. All of a sudden they revere the Lord. The Lord's not looking for a one-day Christian. We have to be living our lives as just and devout as possible each day. Every minute that we have available. Every one of them.
Christianity is a blessing. Mm-hmm. It's not just, you know, a thing that you do once in a while. It's 1 hour of a minute of a week, out of all the hours that we have this hour, one year, this hour, one year, this hour. Then when Christianity is just this other hour that we come to and do something else. And then that's it. We leave and we go out and do whatever we want to do.
That should be something that's prioritized in our life. Every hour of every day. Top of the list. And I mean, if you really think about it, what do we gather for half an hour on Sunday morning for a study? And then we got about an hour long service for, you know, so we say about 2.5 hours there. Probably Sunday afternoon, Sunday morning, Bible study, then we've got 45 minutes. Unless I won't be quiet, then we go a little longer than that, right? So we're talking about maybe 3.5 hours. About 168 hours out of the week. Okay? That's about how many hours you got. So if you think about that, you're required, or you should be here. You should prioritize your attendance with us here, right? Whether you're required, and you're not required to be at a Bible study. You should be, but There's no scripture you can point to that requires a person to be there. Okay? But you're talking about less than 2% of your week. And there are some that can't make it. 2% of the week. Forget about the other 98%. Right? Can you just do the 2? And then we'll work on the rest of the 98%. Right? But it's got to start somewhere. You got to be really ready and willing, like this man, to prioritize at least the 2%. Think about all the things that we have and that we enjoy. 2%. Not a lot. But there is a connection between the way that we live our lives and how we conduct ourselves and how we worship God. Certainly. What about patience? Would you have patience? Oh, I want my patience and I want it now. You ever pray for patience? Be careful. Be careful. Careful what you're asking for. Should you pray for patience? Oh, you bet. It leads to a lot of godly traits, doesn't it? But it's kind of like hard to get started. It's kind of like pushing. You ever push a car? Right? You ever done that? Car died, you push it. Kind of hard to get going, isn't it? But once it's moving, well, you hope somebody's in there. I've done it myself. I had to run around to the driver's side and try to get in there and hit the brakes. Right? Because that thing's going off on its own. Kind of like that, right? It's somewhat, patience is somewhat hard to get going, isn't it? Because, well, we know how we get it. But then once we've learned to master that, it becomes easier and easier. I can remember as a young man, I would fly off the handle and I was proud to do so. I'm embarrassed of such a thing these days. But as I learned to practice patience, it became easier and easier to not allow myself to get carried away with situations. Right? It takes time to develop. It's kind of hard to get it started. But just like other things, maybe you have a trouble with vulgar language. It's kind of hard at first to not use it when you're trying to make that choice. But then after a while, it just no longer is a part of your everyday talk. It's hard, isn't it? Really hard. It's like it's kind of like ice skating uphill. How about that? It's tough. But nonetheless, you see, Simeon, he could have very easily, well, I'm not going to die until I see the Lord. What in the world is taking him so long? Here I've been waiting for weeks and weeks and weeks and nothing. Where is it? You see, some as Christians, we feel the same way. Where is it? You mean it's been 2,000 years and he hasn't come back yet? What in the world is he waiting on? Patience. You gotta wait. Right? Your idea of time is not God's idea of time because he is timeless. Right? Time is but a measurement. It's what we use to determine the distance between one point and another point, no matter what that is. God is not bound by such things, so what's the point? Way in the back.
Patience kind of goes hand in hand with being yourself. Because as I look at the Greek word, it looks like there's an element of being careful and cautious with being yourself. So not only the city that just did nothing, he could have gone after. We have evidence for other quote unquote disciples that had come along.
Yep.
He could have gone after one of those. We see that today where people get tired of waiting on Jesus, and so they go after some of these cults and promise that the judgment day is coming on this day,
Oh, yeah.
And being devout and being careful and patiently waiting for the right answer for God himself, and not going after whatever sounds like that's false.
Yeah, there are some, they get so tired of having to live by those strict rules, so they go looking for those denominations that are just a little looser than that old Church of Christ, that old codger in the Church of Christ. He doesn't want me to do, have no fun. I'm going to go down the street to the place that will let me do whatever I want. Tell me it's okay. Devout is going to require some patience. You have to be. Oh, man, they'll come up with all kinds of stuff, isn't it? Whatever puts the butts in the seats, that's what they do. They'll say anything. They want you to feel comfortable. Sometimes you have to wait uncomfortably as a testing. So they were waiting for the consolation of Israel. That's what Simeon was doing. And Anna was looking forward, or looking toward, the redemption in Israel. There are few people that have this kind of patience, though. Right? We read about a biblical character. Sometimes we even use this just as our everyday kind of, boy, that guy, he got the patience of Job. Right? Even if nobody told you who I was talking about, you could probably finish that sentence, right? Yeah. Was Job's patience tested? Oh, buddy. There are some who cannot remain patient even when one little thing goes wrong. Can you imagine you've lost it all? Your children, your lifestyle, you haven't lost your life, but I mean, at some point you probably wish you'd probably had in his situation, right? The patience of Job. But even after a while, doesn't Job kind of start to get a little big for his britches? The Lord starts to talk to him a little bit. He said, "Gird up, stand up like a man, gird yourself. Are you the one who makes the thunder? Do you make the rain? Who are you to question me?" God asks him that question. Puts him in his place very quickly. Right? When we realize who God is, when we truly realize who God is, you can have patience because you know that He is in control. Lord, here I am. I'm waiting for you. Whatever you have in store will either be good for my health or bad for my health, but it will be good for my soul. Whatever blessing you give to me is good for me. Whatever thing you take away from me is good for me. I'm going to have patience because I know who He is and I know on whom I am waiting. You see, that makes the difference, right? When you're waiting on somebody you know is always late, they're never ready, they're doing this and they're carrying on, it gets hard, right? They're supposed to be here at 5 and it's 5:01 and you're kind of, you know, you're worked up, aren't you? Because this guy, he's all... about with the Lord. Do you sometimes have to wait to see how His plan works? Do you sometimes have to wait for that? Oh, sure you do. Sometimes that's His answer. Sometimes it's yes, sometimes it's no. Sometimes it's maybe later. Sometimes it's I've got something else in store for you that is far better than what you can imagine. Sometimes we have to be patient. But when you're waiting on the Lord, patience should be a little easier, don't you think? Now, it's not going to be so easy that everyone can do it, or otherwise it wouldn't take any sort of mastery, would it? Patience. We spent a little bit more time talking about that than we will about the other points, but I think patience is one of those things that universally people struggle with. Lots of people. It's hard to have patience in the world. It's hard to have patience with your job. It's hard to have patience with your spouse or with your children. Sometimes it's hard to have patience with your brethren, right? But patience is something that universally, I think everyone at some point has probably struggled with. Mm-hmm. Patience is difficult to master, but it does yield the peaceable fruits of righteousness once it has been fulfilled. It does take a little time, but eventually you'll get there. And the reward is great. Would God have allowed you to see and hold the child Jesus? You ever let anybody else hold your baby? What about right away? It's a little hard sometimes, right? I don't know why. I think they call that what, postpartum? Right? You don't ever want to let go. You just want to hold on all the time. I've seen some mothers, especially new mothers, when their baby isn't right there and they can see him all the time, they get pretty anxious, right? Is everything okay? Start sweating, start really, really. Can you imagine? But what about holding Jesus? Now, of course, I'll tell you a little story. So when my sister passed away, we go to the funeral, right? Jenny was brand spanking new. You know what I mean? Like fresh out of the box. Still had that new car smell. Okay? We're in there. We're at the funeral procession. And my brother-in-law, my sister's husband, he looked at her. You could tell. Like he wanted to hold her. You know what I mean? This man has no baby experience. And probably to this day, still doesn't. I was going to let him hold her. And that was probably the most awkward thing that you have ever seen. I mean, well, he didn't even know what to do, you know? And I'm watching, I'm like, any second he's going to drop her. Yeah. Can you imagine that you're holding the Messiah? How careful would you have to be? 100%. You'd have to have your attention laser focused. You wouldn't want to drop him now, would you? Can you imagine? But Simeon was allowed to hold him. He took him up in his arms and did what? Yeah. Blessed God. The fact that Simeon was allowed to hold the Christ speaks a lot about his character. Right? You think God would just let any old person hold the Christ? I can tell you that I wouldn't let just any old person hold my baby. I don't know you, man. Can you imagine?
The really astounding thing about this, you look through the Gospels, and everybody has a hard time accepting that Jesus of Nazareth, this carpenter's son, is the Messiah, God's anointed, the guy who's been that God had been promising to deliver and redeem Israel. And they just can't get around the fact that it's just a guy, right? And he comes from the sticks, and he is a laborer, right? Like, he's not what we typically think of as kingly material. And people are reacting to Jesus in this way when he's a grown man and has spent 3 years performing miracles. Simeon is able to accept this about Jesus while he is an infant. Mm-hmm. He's able to look at this 8-day-old baby and say, or I guess he's a little older than that for purification. But anyway, very small baby. He's able to look at this baby and say, this is the one.
Mm-hmm. He trusted in what the Lord said to him. This is the one. He didn't have the miracles done yet. He didn't listen to the master teaching, right? You ever had somebody teaching you, you're just like, man, they are wise, right? He didn't have any of that, right? Didn't see anybody raised from the dead yet, did he? Didn't see anybody cured by just his words, even from a distance, right? But yet he believed. So he took him up in his arms and he blessed him and he thanked God for Jesus. So many are not grateful to God. We have much to be thankful for. I wrote this because I want to ask you this question. I want you to determine in your life if you are guilty of this. Don't want you to tell me. I have been guilty of this. I'll tell you even before I read it. Okay? But it is something that I struggled to work on and now I'm much better at. There are many who ask, why would God let X, Y, or Z happen to me or happen to my children? Right? What kind of God would let something... You ever heard this question? What kind of God would let my baby die? And there are people who walk away from the faith because of that. Why would he let my baby die? Well, the question I'd have is, was I thankful for the other two that he gave me that are healthy? You see, some get so caught up on the things that they think God has taken from them who are not yet given to them, instead of being thankful for the things they have right in front of their face every single day. How do you thank God with your life? Do you live your life in a manner that is according with how thankful you are for the blessings that you have? Or do you sit around and wonder, why don't I have X, Y, or Z? You see, that's tough sometimes. We ought to be so very thankful for every way in which we have been blessed, and it has been many ways. Don't let the little things that you think you're missing out on, you think you're missing out on, or you think would be good for you, don't let those things spoil your attitude towards the Lord and your thankfulness for the things that you have. Don't let it. It can happen quite easily. Last word will go to Wayne. The Lord doesn't just do things arbitrarily, does He? Trust, have patience, and thank Him always for what you have. Thank you for your good time during the study. We'll pick up on Simeon just a little later this week, Lord willing.